Would you like to? Oops. Join the meeting. Well, you got to go to the website. On your. Here. Okay. That's it right there. Mm-hmm. And I want to know what you see on your screen. Okay, I was going to try to block the chat, but I can't seem to do that. So. Okay, I will let you in. Thank you.
Hello, Mayor or Karen. Just wanted to check my audio. See, this is Mike.
Yeah, Mike, I can hear you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Good evening. Welcome to the regular meeting of the Gustavus City Council. It's 7 p.m. I'm at City Hall with Karen. So we're the only people here at City Hall, but there's lots of folks online. Karen, can I have a roll call, please?
Vice Mayor Cattermore.
Here.
Councilmember Clark.
Present.
Councilmember Van der Zanden.
Here.
Councilmember Warner.
Here.
Mayor Cassapit.
Here.
Councilmember Taylor.
Here.
Councilmember Owens. Councilmember Owens.
I believe Shelley was going to have to come down and do this from her car outside City Hall, so she might be being hooked up out there.
Well, I see her out there.
Yes, I'm here. I wasn't getting an audio, so I was working I had to click on the computer audio a couple of times before I began to hear you.
Okay, we have 7 council members present. Quorum exists.
Okay, before starting the meeting, I just wanted to say a few things. As you all know, we are on this video conference service. Please keep your phones muted and your video off. I'm only one using video, so you can see me, but everybody else should have their video off. If everybody's on, it slows it down. The clerk will be sharing her screen. She'll be projecting the packet onto the screen. It's also online on our website at cms.gustavus-ak.gov. When the time comes, if you would like to speak during public comment, please click the participant at the bottom of your screen and raise your hand, and we'll call on you. And if you're using your computer when it's time for him to speak, it's easiest just to use your space bar. Just hold down the space bar on your keyboard while you're talking, and then release it when you're done talking, and that's the easy way to unmute and mute yourself. Also, this meeting is being recorded, so folks want to make sure you all know that too. Okay, first on our agenda is our approval of our of past meeting minutes. We have general meeting minutes from March 9th, 2020. We have our special meeting minutes from March 24th, 2020. And an emergency meeting from March 30th, 2020.
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve by unanimous consent the general meeting minutes from March 9th, 2020, special meeting minutes from March 24th, 2020, and the emergency meeting minutes from March 30th. Can I get a second?
I'll second. It's been moved to approve the minutes of 3-9-2020, 3-24-2020, and 3-30-2020, moved by Vice Mayor Cannamore, seconded by Mayor Cassapip. Those minutes have been distributed. Council has seen them. They're on the screen right now. Do any members of the public wish to offer any additions or corrections to the minutes? Doesn't appear to be any comments from the public on the minute. Do any council members make any additions or corrections? Okay, seeing none. I'll ask if there are any objections to passing the general meeting minutes from 3-9-2020, special meeting minutes from 3-24-2020, and the emergency meeting minutes from 3-30-2020. Is there any objection to unanimous consent for approving those sets? Okay, hearing no objections, the minutes are approved by unanimous consent. Next on the agenda is Mayor's request for agenda changes. I have no requests for agenda changes, and if there's no objection, I would like unanimous consent to adopt the agenda.
Mr. Mayor.
Shelley, go ahead.
Okay. I want to just to confirm, there are three issues regarding the COVID-19 response in the community. And I just want to ensure that the three items will be included in item 10A with the discussion of the termination date for the two different resolutions.
Yes, Shelley, that's on the agenda.
Okay. And then also, I believe there was a request to postpone item 10E, issuance of the RFQ CP1906 DRC New Compost System Project, to either the June or July general meeting.
Shelley, we'll deal that under rules of regular order when that comes up on the agenda.
Okay.
So I'll ask again, do I have unanimous consent to adopt the agenda? Any objection? Okay, the agenda is adopted by unanimous consent. Before we get on to committee and staff reports, I wanted to read something into the record, and we'll have this posted as well. The City Council of Gustavus, Alaska hereby proclaims with appreciation and gratitude the efforts of those men and women who work on the front lines of our fight against the COVID-19 virus. The City Council of Gustavus, Alaska hereby acknowledges the dedication and determination by the following businesses and their heroic employees that embody the courage and fortitude of Alaskans. Sea Plains of Alaska, Johan Janse van Riesenberg, Gordy Ewing and Rachel Parks, Search Gustavus Clinic, Lisa LaGrange and Kelly Warren, Toshko, Sandy Best, Sheridan Bulkey, Cody Kelly, Tasha Lenning, Zach Lenning, Cassie Parker, and Kai Sellards, the Dre, Rachel Patrick, Rod Woody, Todd Smith, Frontier Freight, Michael Foster, Monty Talatoa, and Greg Kozaroff. And also wanted to also thank the Gustavus Fire Department and all the volunteers that also are leading in this effort. There'll be a ceremonial document as a proclamation that'll go out here, but we're recognizing all these folks for their positive contribution to our security, our economic and social overall well-being here in the City of Gustavus. So I want just a round of applause for those folks. Virtual applause, I guess. Okay, first on the committee reports, staff reports will be from our library.
Hi, guys. Nice to see everybody. I'm just going to read through for those who don't have video capability at this moment, but this is Bree, and let's see. So you guys might at first visually you can see our what's on our webpage. It's how we're just dealing with it, but I can just tell you guys down how we're operating internally during this period. We're just trying to remain flexible, and so Jen's working Monday through Friday, noon to five. And I go in on Sunday and help, you know, do things with the materials and do my desk work. But mainly I'm working from home. But you can call either one of us if you need to. you can also still use the Wi-Fi outside 24 hours a day. You can email Jen or myself if you'd like to request some books. We can still work with Anchorage. They were shut down for a while, but our person up there is back and able to get most things, but not everything. If you can't see, we have a website. You can look at what you might want to get, but you can also just say what you like and we'll figure it out for you. That's been very fun for us to do. Let's see. So if you want to return things during the office hours, you can drop them off outside. There's also masks out there if everybody needs them, and some different elastics and ways to tie your masks, your face coverings. And then we take all the materials inside and we box them up for 4 days. And then as we put them back into circulation, we use the bleach solution on them and clean them up again, which is really needed because actually I've been doing that and it's very disgusting. So it's all good. We're entering a lot of new movies and books right now. We just got a big order in, and so you'll see more things pop up on the website. We've been using, Chief Travis has given us the Zep spray that they use in the ambulance, so that is helpful for anything, any surfaces that the public touches, which is not very many at this point. We have been closed since the 17th to all people coming in and out and events and all that kind of stuff, and so it's changing a lot of our stats. And also, we're just kind of waiting to see. We definitely feel hunkered down at the library right now, which was sad because we really miss all of our people. And so the library is definitely on a roll with our programming before all this went down. We saw regular visits from the high school classes. We were happy to see all the kids come in. We always have the elementary kids come in. It's always fun to have them come in. And Jesse's third through fifth grade class comes in most frequently. We've been having a lot of interest in film showings and discussions, which we cannot do right now. But maybe we can figure out different ways to do things online. There's a lot of resources out there and a lot of librarians that are really thinking of ways to do programming. And Jen is very passionate about it. She misses everybody. Let's see. Summer reading, we're not quite sure what's going to happen yet. Jen's working on that for sure, but it's just not gonna look the same. We won't have the park rangers working with us this summer. And at the suggestion of the city administrator and the mayor, Jen's gonna try to take the lead. She's gonna do it. It's gonna be difficult because it's a lot of things paper to wade through, but she's looking into helping Financial Assistance Center. And these are for the COVID-19 related assistance that's available through the federal government. And hopefully we can assist members of the public who need assistance that have been affected by this. So if you have any questions about that, you can email Jen or myself or Tom, and we'll be able to help you hopefully from a distance over the phone right now. And then maybe as things change, we can help people in person, but it's all up to the future for sure. We got our $7,000 today for our books for next year. So that'll probably pop into the bank and we start spending that in July. So give us our requests if you guys have any requests. Still thinking about the roof now that it started raining again. So that's going to happen in the spring. Hopefully we'll get some good bids on that. Brenna from BAM Cleaning Services has been cleaning for us and she's doing a great job. She's really has time to deep clean the library right now, now that everybody's gone. let's see. And we're also taking this time to have Ben redo the bathroom floor, which has been exposed concrete since we had our septic issue in July last year. And let's see, all of our trainings have been canceled, of course. And I can't wait for our budget meetings that are coming up this week and in the future. So I will turn off my mic. And if you guys have any questions,
Okay, council members, any questions? Okay, thanks, Bree. Next on the agenda is our report from Chair.
Hello. All right, so I do got some stuff that Karen might be able to throw up on the screen. I don't know if that's being shown yet. There it is. All right, so first of all, I don't have much of a fire department report per se. I've been pretty busy the last little bit, pretty much just hanging out on my phone. So I have got a really good outline of some, of how I'm going to start giving these EOC type reports in the future. This is not it. I spent too much time on my phone today and it all plugged into this thing that I wanted. So I got this together. Thanks to Karen for getting it up after her normal work hours. So thank you. Anyways, you can go ahead and switch pages, Karen. Or am I doing that? Did it switch? I don't know how that works. There we go. So first, I want to say that our EOC, or me and my team that I talk with all the time, we do a lot of planning and talking in all of those different things. And I just took this emergency management class not too long ago over March 3rd through March 5th. And this is one of the slides that was in there. And the main reason I'm putting this up here is just to show how the different planning works for not just this incident, but for all incidents out there. And the main part of this is just showing that, you know, you got to start at the household and with your family and friends. And and in this battle is a lot of just pushing information between family and friends and educating each other on social distancing and isolation and quarantine rules. And then we come in with our community plans and we step in with the city and help out with what plans we have. We are about a few days away from having a SCRP plan published and then in the future emergency operations plans. Then the state can help us a little bit if we request assistance from them, which we haven't done yet at this point. And then the feds can since they have their plan out. You can go one next one, Karen. And so part of this whole planning process, I'm pretty sure I know what the next one is. See, these are the two different big planning things that we do for our things. The mitigation plan, which we just passed the other day, and those are how we stop things from coming in the future. And then our small community response plan, which is an emergency operation plan in sense that is generic for all emergencies out there. And all communities around Alaska under the population of 2000 are given this resource for free. Like I said, we'll have 7 copies published in the next few days. And I've talked to a lot of people inside of that. You can go next page, Karen. With all of this planning that goes on and inside of this SCRP plan, We run it all through an ICS system, and the ICS system has all of these different functions in it, and these are all the different roles that either myself or various people within our operation are doing. Some of them are just a few different people, like myself, playing a lot of hats, but these are some of the different ones. You can go one more. So ICS is how we funnel stuff through. This is how the park runs their system. This is how we're kind of running our system. Within our ICS system, just so people out there that are listening kind of know, at least how I have it written out, is I'm acting as the incident commander. Tom and whoever the acting mayor is at the time have been the liaisons. Operations have been on myself with a bunch of the different subcategories. I'm Lisa running mail. Colleen Stansberry has been kind of dealing and heading up the travel declaration crew. There's a lot of pub ed that goes through our operations side of things. And in our planning, we've been getting a lot of answers questioned over the last few days. So our little task group will be our planning group. And that's going to include in the future myself, the mayor or somebody that they put on from the council if they want, the clinic, the administrator, our logistics person who has been Megan Bishop at this time, and then a park person. And we'll sit in that group and we'll come up with helping set a plan for the next steps of our community when we have to take those next steps further than what we're already doing. Like I said, Phoebe's our city finance person, so she kind of falls in that finance role. And logistics has been Megan. She's been helping kind of help head on my end of things of overseeing mask distributing all the masks that people have been sewing, helping me try to get all my PPE and stuff in order, and kind of helping with Whitney on the Gus Davis helping up this group. So that's kind of like how our group has been running and who's in it. There's lots of more people that I talk to every day to get advice and all that good stuff from too. Outside of Gus Davis and those agencies. So you can go to the next one. So out of our state of Alaska recognized SCRP, which is that small community response emergency plan. So far, these are the things that we've been doing. Like I said, we've opened up an EOC and we've been passing on all of the resolutions that you guys Council passed to the State Emergency Operations Center. We have established the incident management team, which is kind of the group that I just talked about. We've been informing the public about the pandemic and keeping them up with the state, federal, and local regulations that have been and mandates that have been put in place. I am in constant communication with all of those random agencies and a bunch more that I didn't put on there. And that's what I spend most of my day doing, is talking to these people and trying to stay ahead of the game as much as I can. And I've also been reached out with the GVA to send out a letter to business owners to see what their summer plans are, which at this point is pretty popular in operating as is. That's the consent that I've kind of gotten from that. So those are things that we've done and out of the script following the plan that the state has a recognized thing for. So you can go ahead on to the next one. So the next couple slides are things that we're working on. And basically our main goal is to keep Gus Davis COVID-19 free. So these are the plans that we've done and some of the things that we're at and how we're acting on those plans. So we've lots of public education has gone out through various different organizations. Like it says on their email, news group, city webpage, city meetings, word of mouth, social media, flyers. There's a couple people that are working on a couple different banners to hang up around town that are social distancing and how to social distance and be 6 feet apart. I'm working on weather resistance signs. I've just had them pause on it to make sure to see what happens tonight on any resolution changes before I get them printed. To put at the plane transient door, the city dock, and the national park dock about what people have to do if they walk up and whatever or come through there. The travel declaration team and the packets, there's two people that meet every plane every day that it comes in and have those people fill out a form on a tablet if it's not already done. That form goes to the clinic, and the clinic on one of their admin days attempts to make those phone calls as long as they can. Where did I go? And so they're working hard on trying to do that public education when those people first come off the plane and do that. With that, we have had a couple incidences down at the place. We had one person who just flat out refused to sign the travel declaration. He said that he signed the state one and that was good enough, and that he didn't, and that he was an essential service to the community as a general contractor. But anyways, so we have had some confrontations at the airport kind of already, and we have had some people that we see that aren't necessarily following those rules and regulations. So on that, if they aren't following rules and regulations, you can just, if you know they're from out of state, you contact that investigations email, or you can contact the state troopers. I do know that the troopers are calling people and talking to them on a daily basis, and informing them of what the regulation is and what those penalties could be of a $25,000 fine and up to a year in jail. So they are doing that. If you see people that are abusing those things, you can do that. You can get a hold of the troopers at 465-4000. We're doing a meme contest, if you haven't found that. That's an internet type thing. There's actually been a lot of good ones going through there. And then there's also the Gus Davis Helping Gus Davis group that's has a good website of a lot of good information out there. Our other big thing that we've been worrying about is our PPE that we have for the community and for our medical responders. So the community, there's like a group of about 15 sewers out there that have been making masks, and we've been giving those out to the public as fast as we can get them made, basically. So thank you to the community center for kind of heading that organization. PPE stands for personal protective equipment, and it's anything like face masks, gloves, gowns, face shields, and stuff like that. So on our side, we're inventorying our masks. We had a line on some, but that might have fallen through. And gloves, we're currently getting inventories on those. But we do have some volunteers creating some gowns out of Tyvek wrap and face shields. We had somebody actually 3D print some. So thanks for those couple people from the community that donated their GoFundMe that helped give us some free face shields because we were kind of low on those. All right, that's that one. You can go to the next one. So if you do test positive, this plan, so there's the plan changes almost as fast as search can have a meeting. So right now, and this might change in the next couple days, but as of right now, if you test positive and you are in a high risk category and symptomatic and or symptomatic, you'll be transferred to Search Matterscom Hospital. That's in Sitka. They are using Matterscom High School as a facility to put patients that test positive in from rural communities so that they can monitor them at a hospital instead of at a rural clinic where that stuff should be. If you have no symptoms at this time, you're still gonna do a strict home isolation program, and you'll get monitored from the local clinic. And also the state Department of Health and Social Services Public Health Office, they'll do, I think it's twice a day they check on your symptoms. If you do that, plus they start an investigation on where you've been, where you came from, where you might've got it from, and anybody that you might have passed that on to. So they start making phone calls and work that from the back end and start trying to notify the people that need to be notified that might've been in contact. So if you do test positive, there's a lot of resources when that day happens. Hopefully it never happens, but if that does happen, between the public health nurse and Search, we've got some good plans coming. Search is really stepping up their game with a lot of pressure from the rural clinics on getting better plans out for them. So that is happening now. You can go to the next one. So this is kind of like my last little slide I had, but this is kind of like the slide that we covered a lot at my Department of Homeland Security Emergency Management training that I was at beginning of last month. And this is kind of the cycle that we do our emergency operations in, and a lot of it here. Some of these we don't have to do in this scenario necessarily, but this is the cycle, how it all happens. And it just keeps repeating itself after every objective or every plan or every emergency or anything like that. There are some other things that when we get into those recovery phases that I think that we as a community and especially the council, I think that we need to really take a look at. And that's how we're going to come out of this as quick as possible. And really staying on top of any funds and grants, and really trying to figure out how we're gonna support our businesses so that they can survive all this after the fact, whether that's like finding commercials and really supporting making commercials so that we can help them as they're not open now and losing money, how we can help them sustain themselves after this, and really supporting the GVA on trying to market our community after this, because really between the two crises that we have, there's the medical side, which our role in this crisis as a city is the prevention side and stopping this and lowering that curve so we don't overwhelm the hospital's crisis of this event. There's no way that we can necessarily keep it out 100% unless we really start to close down the community a little bit more. And my opinion on this is that we should do something drastic. And before we start allowing too many people in, we really need to look at the new wording of these mandates that the governor has put out. And I think that on the fishing side of things, all of those recommended things that we can do for those lodges and making them have travel plans and medevac plans and hospital plans and require all of that, so they have to really think about their employee before the community has to think about their employee. Because every person that comes in, I have to plan on getting another box of N95s and another box of gloves and another 5 gallons and hope that I get volunteers that want to respond to this. About half of my EMTs have said they don't want to even be responding right now just because of the chance of contacting COVID and bringing it back to their families or having to go through this. So I really think that we need to take a real good, strong stance like some of these other communities are and pretty much shut down the community and not let some of these people in as strong as we can, or have a way to vet these people. One thing that in my slides, I think I overlooked is that in the plans in the future, in the next 2 to 4 weeks, we've had word through search that Gus Davis should have a rapid test in town so that we should be able to test COVID patients on site and have, I don't know how long it takes to get that back, but rapidly, I guess. So, yeah, that's my plan. I think, and that's what we've been doing as far as this is just pushing a lot of public education, trying to get some new ideas on and some banners out, really trying to stay top of everything. I've been making phone calls to other emergency managers. I've reached out to Craig, who just got a second case today. That's rural Alaska's second in Southeast that's got a second case today. I'm trying to reach out to their emergency manager to see how that's affected their community, their EMS people, their hospital staff, their council, the way that they've been thinking. I've reached out to the public health nurse today, and they gave me a lot of good information on what Cordova, if you guys want to research Cordova, they're doing a lot of this, making charter or guide operations and fish plants fill out all of those declaration forms. So that they have plans for what their people can do and what they're gonna do before they come into this community. So my fear is that once it gets in, it's hard for us to deal with it and get it out, but we can really stop it from coming in now, and that's what we need to do. I think I've rambled on about everything I wanted to say.
Hey, council members, any questions for Travis? Okay, it doesn't appear like we have any questions for Travis. Next is our financials. Phoebe, did you want to say anything other than, or do you need to say anything about these?
No, I don't have any add unless anybody has questions. We'll have more information after we get this quarter's return by the end of this month. So I'll have more information for the May meeting.
Mr. Mayor, this is Taylor.
Go ahead, Mike.
I just wondered, Phoebe, do we still need to sign, all of us need to sign that month report?
I believe so. That might be a question for Karen. That gets turned into our folks, our representatives over in Juneau for the DCRA, DCCED. It's showing that everybody, that we're doing financial reports and that the council sees it.
I'm going to have to check on that. I'm assuming that if the mayor initials it and it's in the minutes, that we can probably get away with not doing that given the COVID-19 circumstances. But I'll need to check into that. I'll let everybody know.
Okay, council, any more questions for Phoebe? I guess no more questions for Phoebe. We're on to Tom. Do you have a short report for us?
Yes, good evening. I'd like to start with a big thank you to the community for sending some terrific information and comments, questions. We put the responses on our webpage. Try to find as much good information to respond to the questions and pass along the good information that we receive. I also like to recognize city staff for doing an outstanding effort during this critical time. Working from home isn't as easy as you might think. I'm sure there's lots of challenges in each one of these households. So thanks to staff for doing that. The fiscal 21 year budget, the governor has decided that he is going to veto, or he has vetoed, the $30 million from the community assistance program with the strategy of replacing it with the money from the CARES Act. The mayor sent a letter to the governor, our state and federal legislators, and the Alaska Municipal League, suggesting strongly that the governor, instead of substitute, that he supplement with the CARES Act funding. What that would mean is that he would restore the $30 million into the community assistance program, which would fully fund Gustavus, and then provide Gustavus with its share of the state $1,250,000 the state is receiving under the CARES Act. So with the CARES Act, there's a lot going on. I attend announcements and webinars weekly, two or three a week, with updates coming from different agencies, Small Business Administration, HUD, different places that folks can look to for some financial relief. Anything that I find that's helpful, I put on the webpage, city webpage, and also forward it to Jen at our COVID-19 resource center as it's working to stand up. Bree talked about the resource center a little bit. Just wanted to touch on that Jen is just getting up to speed. The funding is just becoming available. We'll get a little better at this in the near future and a lot better as this stuff moves forward. So you can contact Jen or myself if you have any questions or need any assistance, and we'll try to help you the best we can. The Visitors Bureau is also the Visitors Association has also been included in most of the emails with information that I get. So that's also a source that you can contact. Okay, so the last item is the fiscal year 21 budget work session. It's coming up on Wednesday at 5:30. It will be presented via Zoom. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer those.
Okay, go ahead, Phoebe. You were up there first, and Susan and I have you next.
The budget meeting is Thursday, not Wednesday.
Yeah, thanks, Phoebe.
Okay, go ahead, Susan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm not sure where it came up in the council packet, but there was something about the burn ban. I don't know if that was Travis or Tom. Can you tell me, does that apply to our home burn barrels for burning our...
Yeah, I'll refer to Travis on that. Travis, you want to answer that question for Susan, please?
Yep. So the state burn ban, the article that came out was terrible, just so you guys know, and very misinforming, like most news is. So always double check and call your people or do some further research. So I do have an email from them. I just have to find a minute to put out a better PSA on it. So the burn, thank you for also, Susan, for bringing that up and as a reminder. So the burn ban is a ban that's put on by the state. Since 1961, the regulations on open burning have not been updated. So in 2018, they formed a group, Department of Forestry formed a group, and they started looking into the regulations around the state. So they updated the state requirements, and that's where everybody's seeing these burn permits. A burn permit is required for anything in a burn barrel, a brush fire, or burning of a lawn. That's what a small burn permit is required for, basically. So if you have a campfire, a little burn thing with logs and stuff like that, that's fine. Open barbecues and stuff like that, that's fine. A large scale burn permit for the contractors, now those are a little bit different. And I'll answer your question in a second, Susan, but I guess I might as well just talk about the whole thing. So the open scale burn permit is, for the contractors, and they have to get those per contract or per job, I guess you could say. So they file what they call the Department of Forestry. They have to send pictures of the site that they're burning. They have to prove that they've removed enough soil around it to make bare soil so it can't spread. They have to can't make it too big or too whatever that has to be a certain size. They have, so like Elm's fire on the bottom of Dolly, he has to take that thing and move it into like 15 by 15 size fire. So it'll take a while. He has to have somebody watching it 24 hours a day over the age of 18 if it's burning overnight, and he can't leave it unattended, or those type of fires can't be left unattended until you can put your hands on the coals and not feel any heat. That's all to protect the communities, because right now, the Department of Forestry hires 5,000 firefighters from around the country because we have an early fire season, and we can't bring those into the state because of COVID. 80% of all wildland fires are due to small burn permit size fires, those burn barrels, lawns, or brush. And out of 50% of those, 80% of wildland fires are human caused, and 50% of those are out of those small permit things. So it covers the entire state as a whole. Yes, that answers your question. So you can't burn in a burn barrel for the month of May at this point. After on June 1st, they're going to reevaluate that and go from there to see what they say. So for the month of May, there is a complete fire ban on anything bigger than a small campfire. That's it.
Okay, anything else for Travis Ann? Go ahead, Susan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I just need to follow up on that. So what am I supposed to do with my like shit paper? Are you going to burn it? Can you get a burn permit and we can bring it to you, or are we supposed to take it to DRC, or is it what alternative are you proposing that we have? Thanks.
So I have talked to the DRC about that same issue. You can take it to the DRC and they'll bail it.
Okay, anything else for Travis? Okay, we're on to public comment on non-agenda items. This is the time for members of the public to comment on items that are not on our agenda. So if folks would like to make any comment on non-agenda items, now's the time. Please state your name before speaking, because of the teleconference, it's hard for me to know who's talking. Anyway, and Karen needs to keep track of that. So anybody on the line for items? For folks who would like to comment, just raise your hand in the participants area and call on you. Okay, I don't see any comment on non-agenda items. We'll go on to our consent agenda. On the consent agenda today, we have a certificate of records instruction that'll be up on your screen here shortly. We also, on the consent agenda, is a waive of our right to file a protest of the Excursion Restaurant liquor license renewal and the right and waiving the right to file a protest on the Annie Mae Lodge liquor license renewal. So those are all on the consent agenda. Karen is clicking through all those. Do any members of the public wish to have any item removed from the consent agenda? Go ahead and raise your hand in the participants section if you wish to have members of the public, if you wish to have something removed from the agenda. I don't see any requests from the public to remove anything from the consent agenda. Do any council members wish to have any item removed from this consent agenda? I don't see any council members wishing to remove anything from the consent agenda. Motion to approve consent agenda would be entertained right now.
Mr. Mayor?
Go ahead, Susan.
Can I make a motion to adopt the consent agenda by unanimous consent as presented?
Okay, Susan moved for unanimous consent on adopting the consent agenda. Is there any council members who do not want to approve by unanimous? Sorry, I needed a second.
I'll second it.
That was seconded by Brittany to approve the consent agenda by unanimous consent. Yes. Seeing none no objections, the consent agenda is approved by unanimous consent. Okay, next on the agenda is, well, there's five items on the next on the agenda. They're all for public hearing. They were introduced last month, March 9th. First one is FY20-12, Title 8 Marine Facilities Revision.
Mr. Mayor?
I'm sorry, Brittany. I'm sorry. I'm supposed to open for public testimony.
Oh, sorry.
So, is there any members of the public who wish to testify on FY20-12 Title 8 Marine Facilities Revision?
Cal, you're muted.
Cal, you've been muted from the beginning of that.
Okay. Can everybody hear me now? I think so. I think I should be okay. I just wanted to say that we've been working on this for quite a while. At the work session, there was a question on whether or not the Marine Facilities Committee had reviewed this version. I believe they had and had recommended it. And so what you see before us has been reviewed and all the issues up till now they've been incorporated into that revision Title 8. No, So with that, is there anybody from the public who wish to comment on this? If not, I'll be closing public hearing on this unless I see some hands go up. I don't see anybody. Okay, I don't see anybody with their hands up, so now I will entertain a motion to put on the table before the council.
Mr. Mayor, I move to make an to approve FY20-12 Title 8 Marine Facilities.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve FY20-12 Title 8 Marine Facilities Revision. It's now before the council for debate and deliberations. Is any council members wish to speak? Shelly. What's that?
I want to check if Joe wanted to comment. I saw him unmute himself, but
I see Shelly there with a check.
So maybe just say that it was in.
If there's any council comment, raise your hand. I'm not sure if I saw Shelly on there that wanted to talk, or I don't know if Joe V wanted to talk, but I thought I saw both of those flash, but I might be wrong. Where is she? She disappeared again. I don't see anybody with their hand up anymore.
Okay, now she's got her hand up again. So
lower her hand.
There we go.
Okay, I think you're ready, Shelly.
I was just going to clarify that the check was in approving something earlier. It may have been a consent agenda. So I was saying, okay, I found that to remove the check, all I have to do is click on the raise hand and that removes the check. That's why why I had a check mark there.
Thanks, Shelly. Any other comment on Title 8 before I call for the question? Doesn't appear so. Madam Chair, or Madam Clerk, may I have a roll call vote, please, on FY20-12 Title 8 Marine Facilities Revision?
Councilmember Warner.
Yes.
Councilmember Owen.
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor.
Yes.
Councilmember Van der Zanden.
Yes.
Mayor Cassapit.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Cannamore.
Yes.
Councilmember Clark.
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay, thank you. Next on the agenda is FY20-13 NCO, providing for amendment of department budgets for FY20. I will now open the floor for public testimony on FY20-13 NCO, providing for the amendment of the department budgets for FY20. For folks watching on the screen, this is making some changes to our budget to balance our books to cover, I believe there's increased, well, we put the National Forest receives revenues in there and also moving some money around to balance our budget for roads as well. So if I've done a really bad job of butchering that, I will let Phoebe correct me if I've done that wrong. Phoebe, did I get that about right? Okay, is there any public comment on this NCO for providing the amendment of department budgets for FY20? Do we see anybody?
All right, I gotta get caught up here. Okay. So if there's, did you close it for public comment? I'm sorry. I'm multitasking over here.
Okay, I don't see any public comment on FY20-13 NCO, providing for the amendment to department budgets for FY20. I'm therefore closing public comment and the public hearing on FY20-13 NCO. I will now entertain a motion regarding that NCO. Oh, wait a minute, I see Susan with her hand up. I'm sorry, I just saw Susan bring her hand up. Let me. Go ahead, Susan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just have a quick question about the marine the adjustment to the marine facilities income. Phoebe's April 4th profit and loss budget statement in the packet showed that we had budgeted in 2020 $15,000 in marine facilities fees. And we've only made 5,000 of that, so we still haven't made 10,000 of that. And it looks like in this budget adjustment, it's adding another $7,000 to that. So with a potential delay in the start of our commercial and charter fishing season, is there some reason that we want to increase the amount we haven't Point collected yet? I just don't understand that particular line. I beg your pardon?
We need to get a motion on the table before you can comment.
Ah, okay.
So you might want to ask for a motion.
I did. Joe Clark was supposed to do it.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, I move that the council adopt fiscal year 20-13 NCO, providing for the amendment of the Department of Budgets for fiscal year 20. Did you copy that?
Mayor, second. The mayor will second that. Brittany and I seconded. Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve FY20-13 NCO, providing for the amendment of department budgets for FY20. So there's the question that Susan had about the marine facility income item. Tom or Phoebe, are you on there? Can you address Susan's question?
can speak to that. When this NCO was drafted, it was presented before the March, was before all this COVID really hit the fan, and this was to adjust the budget for the increase in registration fees that was adopted to prepare for the cost of moving the steel mooring float. So it says there in the subscript under the vessel fees. Normally would not have seen those vessel fees even in a normal year at this point. So I was just adjusting the budget in preparation for the spring start. I'll be doing an additional NCO in May to close out fiscal year 20 that will be introduced in May and up for public hearing in June. And so I'll hopefully be adjusting those numbers at that point for the reality of where we are now. But this was prepared back in March before the full extent of the spring closure was known.
Any other questions for staff on this? Any more discussion from council on this? Okay, I roll call vote, please. Karen.
Vice Mayor Cantermore.
Yes.
Mayor Cassapit.
Yes.
Councilmember Van der Zanden.
Yes.
Councilmember Warner.
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor.
Yes.
Councilmember Clark.
Yes.
Councilmember Owens.
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay, next on the agenda is revisions to Title IV, Revenue and Finance. It's there on the screen before you. I will now open this for public hearing. Is there any members of the public who wish to testify on this revision to Title IV, Revenue and Finance? Okay, I just lowered Paul's hand. Do you have some? Paul, I thought I saw your hand is up. Do you still want to speak? Well, let me just give a really brief introduction to this. Folks can think about whether they want to testify on this or not. This makes some changes to our Title IV Revenue and Finance. There's a list of approved, I don't want to say exclusions, where folks wouldn't have to collect sales taxes if they're conducting certain activities. There's a list of that. And then there's changes changes to various parts of the code to talk about city administrator or city treasurer, because when this was originally written, we didn't have any of those. So a lot of this is just a rewrite of Title IV to bring it up to date to the way things are working in the city. So is there any members of the public who wish to testify on this item, Title IV, Revenue and Finance?
Can you hear me now?
Go ahead, Paul. We can hear you.
Yeah, sorry about that. I just wanted to speak in favor of the seasonal fuel tax. I know that this isn't the best time with the coronavirus and all that, but I really feel this seasonal tax is one of the better ways to pay for road maintenance and for maintenance of the marine facilities, because this would be a way of passing on the cost of maintaining both the road and the marine facilities by the people who are using them, reflected in their fuel usages. And it's an imperfect tax, and it doesn't cover electric vehicles and stuff like that, but it's a step in the right direction. So I would encourage the council to go forward with this and set up for the fuel, seasonal fuel tax, and the fact that it does not cover home heating oil. I think that's, you know, it lowers a load on locals, but provides funding for an important infrastructure. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. This is Janie from the Bear Track Inn. I just was reading through there, and it did not say that the bed tax was going to be used for GBA. And I thought that was 50% or so was to go to GVA. I also, on the fuel tax, we're paying the bed tax and we're paying the other taxes. I think you're kind of punishing the inns for using the road that we're already paying for.
Are there any other public comments?
Hello? Hello?
Go ahead, if you can identify yourself, go ahead.
This is Jen Landry, and I wanted to just say that I support the tax, even though no one likes taxes. I think it is a more fair way than to put a tax, and rather than just taxing the community and more on the heavy. I feel like the seasonals are a little heavier in their use, and so I support it. Thank you. I don't know how to unmute though. Because Jamie piped in with.
Okay, any other comment?
Yeah, hi, this is Erin Olson. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Hi, so I'm going to talk about section 4.15.040. There it is. And so the new section there listing what the things that exempt are, I just think that you could do away with 3 through 7. And I understand why those are listed as just general ideas of what could be exempt, but the way it's written is it says included in this exemption are And say somebody did one of those things, but, you know, sold a bunch of baked goods at a business, like multiple businesses do. That shouldn't be exempt. Homemade ice cream. I understand that there's somebody selling homemade ice cream, and I'm not saying that they should be taxed because it's a tiny little stand. But if somebody opened a business for homemade ice cream, they shouldn't be listed as exempt in the way that this new section writes it would be. So that's my public comment, that 3 through 7 could be deleted. You could say something like striking the last sentence and replacing it with sales that are neither routine nor continuous may be exempt, such as, and then just list 1 and 2, and I guess maybe leave 7, so 3 through 6. That's my comment. Thank you.
Okay. Council, any questions for, actually, I should ask council for questions on any of the testifiers up. Okay, I don't see any. Any other public comment on this FY20-14 Title IV revenues?
This is David Olney. I'd like to speak to the group for a moment. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
I have to concur with Jane Olney and agree to disagree with some of the comments. That I remember the day 25 years ago when we used to grade the road and pay for the road to be graded. Ponce then took it over and did a great job with it, and we understood it. But the occupancy tax, the bed tax, was imposed specifically for the road. And we completely concurred with it of paying our portion of it, by all means. But to add this tax now is a double jeopardy. I completely disagree with the double taxation that's going on here and not putting those funds specifically into the roads. So I have to regrettably agree to disagree with the group that this tax is not a good idea.
Okay, any questions for the commenter from the council? Appear to be so. Any other public comment? Okay, doesn't appear that there's any additional public comment. At this time, I will close the public hearing for FY20-14 Title IV Revenue and Finance Revisions. I'll entertain a motion to get it on the floor for council deliberation and action.
Cal, sorry.
I'm sorry. I just noticed that Karen just advised me. Go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry, go ahead, Kate. Now you're.
Yes, I wondered if someone from the council could speak on that. Maybe Phoebe, is that true that the bed tax goes towards the roads? And if so, how much of it? Thank you.
Yeah.
I can address that if you want, Mayor. The bed tax doesn't go to roads. I'm not sure. I think the idea was that there's a bed tax, and then if there was a seasonal fuel tax, that the lodges would be paying two taxes. But the bed tax does not go to the roads.
Thanks, Tom. If I can add to that, I think basically the bed tax goes into our general fund and then it's appropriated by through our budget process. Hand up for Joe Clark. Okay, I have a hand up. Is there any additional public comment?
Can anybody hear me? This is Kimber Owen.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. I just had a comment. I'm wondering on the sales tax on Bartlett Cove, that being in the taxing district. I mean, I know this summer will be different, then hopefully it won't be all different, but are you also taxing like all of the other boats that are coming into the dock? Like all the tour boats, the tour vessels and the other vessels that come in there? Since it says of any time spent in the city of Gustavus. Done.
I don't know if you, I think I've got this on here. I do. Okay. What we're proposing right here does not include taxes on any kind of boats entering the cove. We just haven't.
Casper, can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Janie Sheehan again. I just have a question to go back to the bed tax. If that goes into the general fund, how are the roads being paid? Are they being paid out of the general fund, or are they being paid out of the sales tax, which we're also paying on all our guests and food, et cetera?
This is not really a time for. Okay, I'm going to allow Phoebe to answer that question, but we're getting way off subject here, and this is not really a time for discussion between the council and the public. It's a time to take public testimony. So, Phoebe, I'll go ahead and let you speak.
Currently, all of the roads maintenance is coming from past year's National Forest receipts. This program used to give us a lot of funds, enough that the previous councils were able to put some away in savings, and we've been drawing upon those savings to supplement the reduced National Forest receipts that we've been receiving in more recent years. We just found out last week that I think
I forget offhand, but we're getting about 44 grand for this fiscal year, and we're going to probably spend at least 95 grand. So 44 grand will be from our national forest receipts, and the rest of it will be coming out of our savings of prior year national forest receipts, which are almost down to zero in the savings account. And then we will just be coming straight out of savings unless we, or until we change our revenue plan for road maintenance, now that the National Forest Receipts is able to pay for all of our funds, our road maintenance funds.
This is David Olney. I've got one last comment to be made to the group, which is I would request that this transportation tax is dedicated 100% then to the roads so that there isn't a misappropriation of funds in the future.
Okay, we're still in public comment. We're still in public hearing. So Mike, let me finish taking public testimony and then I'll call on you guys after we have a motion to get on the table for discussion. And any other public comments?
For Mr.
Go ahead, Mike.
David, the question is, are you aware that it is not legal for the city to dedicate any particular revenue stream to any particular part of our budget? That's my question. If you're aware that the I guess we're not getting an answer from David on that, but it was rhetorical anyway.
Okay, any other public comment on Title 4?
This is David. I would like to respond since a response was requested, but I've been involved in many city taxes where we have allocated specific taxes to specific funds for the recovery of specific expenses. This is very common in the hotel motel industry to ensure that people don't dip into funds. Specifically, St. Louis, the park system attempted to dip into the hotel fund to pay for parks that did not participate in hotel tourism, where it was officially defended properly that they could not dip into that fund. We were able to allocate specific funds to specific projects that was actually managed by a group. So it is a legal method to ensure that taxes go to where they're meant to go.
One more question. Are you aware that it's illegal in the state of Alaska, not in those other jurisdictions?
I'll be more than happy to read up, and if people would like to forward me comments, I would love to do the research on that side of it.
So is there any other public comment in regards to our Title IV revenue and finance? Okay, seeing none, I'm closing the public hearing on Title IV revenue and finance revisions. I will entertain a motion to put this on the table for deliberation and discussion.
In order to do that motion that I'm assigned to, Karen's going to have to return the page to the move that we adopt ordinance FY20-14, an ordinance for the city of Gustavus providing for the amendment of city ordinance title 4.
Second.
I'll second. Brittany seconded. I was moved by Joe Vandersannen to approve the City of Gustavus Ordinance FY20-14, providing for the revisions of Title 4 regarding. Is now before the council for discussion. Who wants to go first? I see Joe first, Joe Vandersannen first, so go ahead, Joe.
All right. I guess I didn't read this thing close enough. We had talked about this excise tax earlier, and I thought it was just on the table or something. We hadn't finished discussing it, but here it is, this revision of the ordinance. My opinion is I think this is a very poor time to an excise tax on fuel. For one thing, it's only going to yield a fraction of what was hoped for. And besides that, we're already paying about 11 cents sales tax on fuel, so this just about doubles that. And we're also led to believe during discussions that this would go directly to the roads. So if that's illegal, then I'm further not in favor of it.
Joe Clark, did you want to speak?
Yes, by way of clarification for my own edification, was the bed tax, does any member of the council recall when the bed tax was designated specifically for the roads? And if so, was it removed because of the state regulations? I'm not clear on that. Does anyone on the council know, can they answer that?
Well, this is Cal. I wanted, before we get off on that, I wanted to be clear on this, that the portions that we were dealing with on the excise tax for fuel, that's still in our, that's still in this write-up, but it was my understanding that we were going to have to remove that because we had published it that way, and so we need an actual action, an amendment to remove that from this ordinance. So because it was published with the excise tax, we now need to, I think everybody at our work session wanted to remove it, but we have to do that in a public meeting because it's published that way. So that's the reason it's still in there. So, you know, we'll have to get to an amendment to remove that at some point. I believe Mike had his, Susan, I know I see your hand up, but Mike brought his hand up, and I think he might have an answer for Joe on his question. So can I switch to Mike real quick and have him possibly give that answer?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I can, having been involved in, you know, the road committee and everything since its very start, and the financing of the road operation, I can confirm that before tonight, I never once heard any suggestion that the bed tax or any portion of it was specifically to support road maintenance more than any other part of the budget. And my impression has always been that the bed tax goes into the general budget. It's the council's responsibility per state statute to allocate all revenues as they deem fit throughout the whole expense side of the budget, and nothing is dedicated to any one section of it. We did essentially, the one thing that could be seen as a little different about the road maintenance is that the federal funding is available only for use on roads, the federal U.S. Forest Service funding. And so that has essentially been dedicated by the feds in giving that to us for that purpose only. So we take that money into a special AMLIP account, and then we appropriate for road maintenance out of that, you know, funds out of that account, so that we are spending those funds first. But our general tax revenues are not dedicated for anything in specific otherwise. Thanks.
Okay, Susan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't see this issue of the gas taxes being the only thing that's a problem with this revision of the sales tax code. But because the council members as a group are prohibited by open meetings law from discussion or problem solving on the public health and financial emergencies we're currently facing, except in a formal meeting such as this one, I respectfully request of the council that we suspend consideration of non-emergency matters until such time as we have a somewhat better handle on how to get through our concurrent crises. The exception to that is Title 11, which is coming up, which could be a component in our financial crisis. Therefore, Mr. Mayor, I would like to make a motion to postpone the introduction of this ordinance until the June 8th general meeting.
A point of order. This has already been introduced. It's for public hearing and action today.
Sorry, my mistake. I'm translating it in the section of the agenda wrongly. Yes, to be that we postpone the decision to approve, if that's what we're doing right now, until the June 8th general meeting so that we can focus our attention on our current crises. Thank you.
Is there a second? Motion dies for lack of a second. Any additional discussion? Go ahead, Mike, you wanted to speak?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Could we, on the screen, scan down to the fuel section, please? The fuel tax, excise tax section.
I can't now.
Yeah, I think she's working on getting it scanned down to that section, because I think I agree with you that, well, In general, I would favor the excise tax under normal circumstances, and it was an opportunity to capture a significant amount of tax revenue from summer operations and specifically fuel sold for the charter operations, which are rather substantial. But this year, that it doesn't look like charter operations are going to operate or not going to operate much of the summer, and we're not likely to have any real income from that. Instead, the residents here are only going to be paying that extra tax, and this is a time when maybe that's just not an additional cost that we should be putting on our public, given these circumstances. And so therefore, I move to strike section 4.15.230, seasonal fuel excise tax. And I'm sorry, Madam Clerk, that it's not easy for me to pull up a form and type that and send it to you.
Shelley, second.
Okay, it's been moved by Mike and seconded by Shelley to remove section 4.15.230, the seasonal fuel tax, from our revision of Title IV for reference. Okay, Mike, Karen just informed me that she would like you to type that in the chat and she can pick that up. So it would basically just be the motion is to remove section 4.15.230 seasonal fuel tax from Title IV.
I can put it into an email for you. How about that?
She said that's fine. Okay, Susan, I see you have your hand up, but I would like to give other council members a chance to speak before I go back to you. So other council members, do you have, I see.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will support Mike's amendment. While I think the seasonal fuel excise tax is a good idea, perhaps is not the correct time, but I'd like to revisit.
Okay, any other council members wish to speak on the amendment? Okay, Susan, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm just raising a point of order. Joe Vanderzanden seconded my motion to postpone. Doesn't that motion take precedence? Thank you.
I did not hear Joe Vanderzanden in second. I didn't see him raise his hand. Joe, did you second the motion?
Yes, I did. I was just trying the space bar that wouldn't unmute me, so I had to use the arrow.
Okay, the way we got to handle this then is we're going to temporarily suspend the rules. We'll put this current amendment to remove the seasonal fuel tax, and we will go back to the proposal to postpone until June. So I'm going to call for the question on that. The motion is, if I remember right, was to postpone decision on this until June, the June regular meeting. Is everybody clear on what we're voting on?
We're voting on postponement, is that correct?
Right now, we're voting on Susan's motion that was seconded by Joe that we didn't hear here in the office to postpone this until the June. So I'm calling for the question at this point. Madam Clerk, can you vote, please?
Councilmember Taylor?
No.
Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
No.
Mayor Cassapit?
No.
Councilmember van der Zanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Cannamore?
No.
Okay, postponement fails. 3 in favor, 4 not.
Okay, now this is on our table for deliberation. Motion to postpone was defeated. 3-4, as the clerk has tallied. We're back to a discussion of an amendment to remove section 4.15.230, the seasonal fuel excise tax, from this revision of Title IV. Any further discussion on the part of the council? Okay, hearing no discussions, I'll call for the question. The question is to amend this to remove section 4.15.230 seasonal fuel excise tax from the Title IV revenue and finance revisions. Madam Clerk, roll call, please.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Mayor Cassapit?
Yes.
Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember van der Zanden?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Cannamore?
Yes.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 7-0.
Okay, we're back to a main motion that has the section on seasonal fuel tax removed. Any other discussion on the part of the council? Doesn't seem to be any additional discussion on the part of the council. Madam Clerk, roll call vote, please, on Title IV, Revenue and Finance Revisions. Mr. Clark, the clerk.
I didn't hear. My vote is no.
Mr. Mayor, I think Karen's on mute.
Thanks.
Councilmember Taylor.
Yes.
Councilmember Warner.
I'm sorry, we're voting on passing Title IV.
That is correct, as amended with seasonal fuel tax removed.
No.
Councilmember Owens.
Yes.
Mayor Cassapit.
Yes.
Councilmember van der Zanden.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, council member, was that a yes vote?
That was a yes.
I think that was a yes. All right, Vice Mayor Cannamore.
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 5-0.
Okay, thank you. We're on to the next item, item D, FY20-15, Title 10, Special Uses of City Land. I'm going to open the floor for public testimony on this change to Title 10. Is there any public wants to testify on this change to Title 10? This basically changes the period of time on the Gustavus Gardens permit from a one-year period to a five-year period is basically the change there. Any public comment? Okay, Jeannie, I see you. I've unmuted you, and you're ready to go.
We've put a lot of time, a lot of effort into building up the soil for the garden. We now, during this time of COVID and a lot of food insecurity, think that the garden itself is a very important part of the community, a part of a way for us to be able to have a place to grow food. And the longer that we have the lease for, the more we can do long-term planning. And I do want to point out that the land that the garden is on is land that was donated to the city with the express idea that it would be a city park. And in 2008, when the community garden was put into place, we got permission and agreement from the people who donated the land that the city garden was a community garden was a good use of that city land. And so I would definitely encourage you to vote to have us have a five-year extension so that it would allow us to be able to do long-term planning. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeannie. I just wanted to I apologize. I don't think I had unmuted you in time, and we might have missed something of the beginning of your testimony. So I wanted to make sure that you had the opportunity to hit what you were saying at the beginning, because we might have missed that on my account, just not pushing the right button. But anyway, if you want to speak some more, that'd be great. And I know I saw your letter to us about this, and anyway, I did get that. So I did want to make sure that you get your chance to say everything you do.
Well, thank you. Just my main points are that we have put a lot of time and energy into developing that land as a garden, that it is something that will be very helpful as we face food insecurities in the present as well as the future. And the longer lease we have, the more able we are to do our long-term planning. Thank you.
Okay, council, any comments for Janine? Okay, any other public comment on this special use permit for the city land for the state garden? Susan, do you have a question for Janine, or is this now? Susan, did you have a question for Janine?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Janine, can you tell me, I did not have time to research this, is the contract between the city and the Community Gardens Group an exclusive contract so that all of the land is dedicated to the Community Gardens, or does it permit other uses?
So as I wrote in the letter that I wrote to the council, the land includes, that was donated to the city, includes three lots. We use a portion of two of those lots.
Thank you. That answers my question.
Okay, any other public comment? Doesn't it appear to be any additional public comment? At this time, I will close the public hearing for FY20-15, Title 10, our special use of city lands. I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor, this is Councilmember Taylor. I move to adopt ordinance FY20-15, an ordinance for the City of Gustavus providing for the amendment of Title 10, Section 10.07.030, special use of city land. Thank you.
I second that.
I second.
It's been moved by Councilman Taylor, seconded. I'll give it to Joe Clark this time. Seconding the ordinance for the City of Gustavus providing for the amendment of Title 10, Section 10.07.030, special use of city lands, ordinance FY20-15. Any discussion, deliberation? I'll speak on it since I don't see any hands coming up from the council. The letter we received from Janine and the garden folks was a very well written letter, laid out their case for and benefits for having a 5-year period on this special use permit, and I'll be voting to. Any other comments? Okay, Karen, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Van der Zanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
Mayor Cassapit?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Cannamore?
Yes.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay, next on our agenda is item E. It's FY20-16, a revision, Title 11, Sales Made by Remote Sellers. I'll open this to public hearing. Is there any members of the public who wish to testify? Just for information for folks on the line and listening in, this basically implements the Alaska Municipal League agreement to work as on a statewide basis to collect remote sales taxes from remote sellers, implementing what we have affectionately called the Wayfair decision. As folks may know, Amazon has been voluntarily submitting sales taxes for things sold over the internet and shipped to Gustavus. This extends it to all other online sales as well. So at this time, I did want to thank staff, especially Tom, for doing all the work and getting us this all down for us and getting this so that we can start getting some of these remote sales taxes collected. Okay, any public comment? Seeing none, I will close public hearing on FY20-16, Title 11, Sales Made by Remote Sellers. At this time, I will entertain a motion to get this on the table for discussion.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we adopt Ordinance FY20-16, an ordinance of the City of Gustavus creating and adopting Title 11, Sales Made by Remote Sellers.
I second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to adopt FY20-16. Or we'll give it to Joe. Joe Clark. Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve FY20-16, Title 11, Sales Made by Remote Sellers. Any further discussion? Seeing no requests for discussion from the council, I am going to call the question. Karen?
Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Mayor Cassapit? Yes. Vice Mayor Cannamore?
Yes.
Councilmember van der Zanden?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay, we're on to new business, item 10A, evaluation of the termination date for City of Gustavus COVID-19 CY20-12 Rule 1 and CY20-13.
Mr. Mayor, I would like to move that we begin. Oh.
Sorry, Karen was just getting to the right page then.
Okay. I would like to move that we begin discussion for evaluating the termination date for City of Gustavus COVID-19 Rule 1 and Rule 2. Starting with CY 2012 Rule 1, which is implementing Alaska State Health Mandate 11, and then CY 20-13 Rule 2 regarding travel into and out.
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved by Vice Mayor Cannamore, seconded by Member Warner, to open an evaluation of the termination date for City of Gustavus COVID-19 Rule 1 and Rule 2, starting with CY20-12 and followed by CY20-13. Like I said, it's been moved and seconded. At this time, I would like to invite public. Be sure to state your name before you begin your testimony, and raise your hand if you're on the computer. And we're discussing CY 2012 first.
Cassapit, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, this is Janie from the Bear Track Inn again. I just would say I hope we will follow the state of Alaska's recommendations and the CDC's recommendations. That's it.
Thank you. Is there any questions from the council? Here to be. Any other public comment?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. Please identify yourself and sure.
Hi, this is Tom Trebush. I would just like to say that I think the state, you obviously got my letter today. I think Gustavus should try to be as tight on restrictions as possible so that we can try to keep the virus out as long as possible. I think as tight as we can go, the better. I understand businesses are going to suffer, but that's about the only choice in my view that we have. That's all I got.
Lane, I see you want to speak. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Well, briefly, I mean, I agree with what Tom said, and I think you all know how I feel about this. I agree. We need to tighten up on the people coming into Gustavus. We need to tighten up on our quarantine restrictions. And as Fire Chief Miller said, if this gets here, we have huge problems. So our best tactic is to try and keep this out. And I would recommend, if we're talking about reviewing this, I think there's some places that could be tightened up, but I also think that the date that we are talking about should follow the date that the Park Service has set. In other words, we should keep things tightened down, not business as usual, until July 1st. That's all.
Danae here, Cal, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Mayor Caspit, we agree with Colleen and Travis, Fire Chief as well, locking down Gustavus, being proactive, keeping the virus out. I believe everybody knows our point of view from the rumor mill, but we just wanted to state it. That's all we have. And thank you for your time.
This is Kimber, can you hear me?
Go ahead, you're on.
I just want to concur with Colleen. I want to do whatever it takes. Yeah. So my company, Seawolf Adventures, is not going to bring anybody in until the city says it's okay. So, and I totally believe in everything that Colleen has said. So thank you, Colleen. Over.
Sounds like you had somebody else in agreement with
you. Yeah, I mean, and she's an import, but she's really on board. Yeah.
Thanks. Anybody else have any?
Hi, this is Jen Landry. Can you hear me?
Hi, Jen. I was trying to get Whitney, actually. If you can hold off there, I'll try to see if I can get Whitney in.
I think we lost Jen.
Concur the policy listed week or two to be the week to start open. Around the cruise targeted
Whitney, for some reason we couldn't hear you. You were breaking up a bit. You want to give it a try again? Also, I wanted to let folks know we're on the CY20-12, which is the social distancing one. We'll be discussing the 2013, the local travel one later. But your comments, we heard some comments about the travel one. Those are still valid. We'll consider those when we get to that one as well. But I just wanted to make sure. Jen, why don't you go ahead? We're having trouble with Whitney. We'll try to get her back on.
Hi, this is Jen Landry. Can you hear me now?
Yep, go ahead, Jen.
Okay. So I just wanted to say that I totally support Colleen's comments and the tightening up what everyone's saying. And part of the inspiration for my comments is that I see Colleen out there at the airport proactively trying to keep people in check. And it kind of makes me sad because we really need Colleen's a vital part of our support and team here. And our energy just shouldn't be going into that. So I think the city needs to be taking stronger action. And I realize, so it's on both sections of this, what you're talking about, my comment. Thank you.
So this is Karen, the clerk.
One more thing,
Carol. I just want to remind everybody that we are reviewing CY2012. Implementing Alaska State Health Mandate 11, mandating social distancing right now. We'll be addressing the travel one next. For the people that have commented regarding CY20 2012-13 regarding the travel in and out of Gustavus. Council members, maybe just keep people's comments in mind regarding that one for when you review the next resolution. So for people that want to comment further, we are addressing CY 2012, implementing Alaska State Health Mandate 11, mandating social distancing.
Okay, any more comments on CY 20? Is there any other comment on 20-20? Okay, seeing no additional public comment, we will now go to council deliberation for CY-20.
Mr. Mayor, I move to amend the expiration date for resolution CY 20-12 to read July 1, 2020.
A second thought.
And I did email that to the clerk.
So can I ask for some clarification from you, Mike?
Yeah, certainly.
So if, I mean, and I seriously doubt this will happen, I doubt it will happen next spring even, but if I brought the Seawolf up, right now I have to quarantine all my crew on the boat outside of Washington before I go to BC. They spend 17 days getting to Gustavus. They can sit in Bartlett Cove for another 14 days. But if our season was to start July 1st, that would be the protocol that I would have to take to keep everybody safe and do everything right. So, and they wouldn't come to town. They, you know, the boat's self-inclusive. I mean, they can eat, drink, sleep, do whatever they want there on the boat. But I want to make sure that doesn't preclude that from happening, if in case we might have a season.
Mr. Mayor, I don't know if I had a second on that.
Yes,
we did. Okay. I don't think it's proper for me to be going back and forth with the commenter, but I think the rest of the council should consider her point.
Okay, we're done with public comment at this point, so it's to council deliberations. I do want to say that what we're working on now is the social distancing resolution, the CY20-12, which deals with social distancing. It's not the travel one. We'll be discussing that one next. So there's been there's a motion on the table, and it's been seconded to extend the date to July 1st, 2020. And that was done by Councilman Taylor with a second by Vice Mayor Moore. Shelley, I see your hand up. I'll take you off and you can speak. Hold on a minute.
That's okay, I'm off mute. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Will be proposing replacing the current resolutions with substitute resolutions in the two that I've submitted, and I think everybody has seen them. They're not, it's not posted in Zoom, but I had proposed June 8th, 2020, and the reason for, but also what I'm looking at is when we have our general meetings and when we can take a vote. So if we don't have to call a special meeting or an emergency meeting, it seems like it would be prudent to have our reevaluation and reassessment be during a general meeting. And our two choices are June 8th or July 13th. And since the park is going to be closed until July 1st, I had proposed that we would take into consideration the closure of Gustavus National Park and any modification of that order. So either we evaluate the second Monday in June or the second Monday in July would be my proposal, or if Mike were willing to entertain an alternate date.
Cal, are you on mute?
No, I'm here. I did want to talk. I was just thinking here a little bit. There's a motion on the table for July 1st. I would prefer to dispose of that one way or the other first. And then if it fails, then we can talk about what Shelley's talking about changing to a different date. You know, Shelley, I did see those proposed substitutions that you sent out here this afternoon, but I don't know if the rest of the council has had a chance to go through those rewrites in any amount of detail. I know I haven't. They came in pretty late. I didn't see them till 3:30 this afternoon. So I don't think it's very fair to ask the council to weigh in on something that they just saw today. And also the public hasn't seen those versions that you wrote either. So I have, you know, I'm not sure where we go with that. I would prefer that we deal with the motion that it's on the table that Mike just suggested, which is July, extending this one, CY20-12 to July 1st. That's the question that's on the table. Joe, I see your hand up. Let me lower your hand and then you can speak.
Yeah, Mike, I was wondering if you'd be willing to change your reevaluation date till June 8th.
Mr. Mayor, I just picked that date at, with the assumption that we're going to need to have social distancing for that long. I just can't imagine that that the need for it's going to go away before then. We could pick an earlier date, and by the way, I didn't mean to wish to step on Shelley's suggestion there at all. I think I just missed seeing it in the email as an attachment, so I apologize for that. But my feeling was that we're going to need to continue at least this social distancing for that long, because we're not going to have a vaccine. We're all going to be susceptible. So even if we have, even if the state and others are starting to reduce some of the requirements, I think this community probably needs to continue the social distancing for some time, just as a protective measure. But if we pick an earlier date, we just may have to amend it again, is all. But I'd like to hear from others. Thank you.
Okay, Susan, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Could we consider saying that we would social distance until July 1 and reevaluate on June 8? I appreciate Shelley not having us have any extra meetings, but... Or I'm fine with the...
Okay, I want to make sure we hear from all council members before circling back around and picking up council members that have already spoken. So I want to make sure that Brittany and Joe Clark have a chance to speak if they want to now.
This is Joe Clark, if you can hear me. I like the idea of an earlier, the June 8th, reevaluation, if it looks like we can move, hold back or move forward. It's easy enough to reevaluate. But at this point, looks like July 1st is, I'm all for social distancing. It keeps everybody much safer. That's my two bits.
Okay, Brittany, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm fine with the July 1st date. It seems, from my understanding, that's the day that the park is planning on reevaluating things, and I'm fine to align with what the...
Okay, Joe Vanderzanna, did you want to say anything on this?
No, nothing more.
Okay, now I'll back around to folks who want to speak again. Shelley, go ahead.
I really like Susan's idea, extending to July 1st and evaluating on June 8th, if Mike would accept that as a friendly amendment.
Point of order, there's no such thing as friendly amendment. We would have to do, we would have to have withdrawn and redone. Go ahead, Mike.
It seems to me without, I mean, all I did was change the effective date, and we can reevaluate that anytime in either the May meeting or the June meeting. We could just bring up another motion to change the effective date. So I don't have any problem with that. And I think it goes without saying that we can do that in a future meeting, future general meeting, quite easily, without it being, without writing it into this as a change to the amendment.
I agree with Mike. I like the July 1 end date on this social distancing one. I think it's, to tell you the truth, I think we're going to be back on July 1, extending it for another few months again. I think this social distancing is going to be with us for a while, as long as we're in this situation of almost no tests available. Just the nature of the beast. That's where we're at. So I'm okay with the July 1 date. And like Mike said, we can review and reevaluate this whenever we want. But I think the July 1 date is a good one, and I'll be supporting. Any further? Okay, I'm going to call for the question. I don't see any more council comment. And this is to extend the effective date of CY20. -12, the social distancing resolution, to July 1. Madam Clerk, can I have a roll?
Councilmember Owens.
Yes.
Mayor Cassapit.
Yes.
Councilmember Clark.
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor.
Yes.
Councilmember Vander Zanden?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Cannamore?
Yes.
Was that a yes?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
All right, motion passes 7-0. So now that's good.
Okay, we are on to the next one, CY20-13. It's regarding the travel into and out of Gustavus. Some folks have publicly commented on this already when the first one, but I wanted to open it up now additionally for any folks who want to comment on CY20-13 regarding travel into and out of Gustavus.
I'd like to speak if I could. This is Kimber.
Kimber, We've got a couple people in front of you. We've got a couple people
No worries. No worries.
Okay, thanks for your patience. Just a second. Whitney was having trouble with her speaker before, and so I have her comment here, and it's actually regarding CY 2013. I support the tightening of CY 2013 and maintaining 2012. I would like a realistic date, such as July 1st, in concert with cruise ships. Dunleavy and Trump are both promoting liberalization of mandates, possibly starting next week. I think this is premature, given our rural location. That's from Whitney Rapp. And we have Travis next, and then we have Kimber, Tom Trebush, and Colleen Stansbury. So it looks like some of you may not be able to raise your hand, but if you do unmute yourself, I can see that you want to speak. Just don't speak without being recognized first so that we can kind of maintain the line. Thank you.
Okay, Travis, I have you first.
Hello, thank you. I just want to speak in favor of, like everybody else has been talking about, I'm in complete favor of tightening up this resolution a little bit, especially wording and who can and can't come in. I spend most of my day answering questions on seasonal residents that want to come to their summer home and how they can do that and if they can do that and why they can or why they can't do that. And essential workers like Chatham Electric and people that need to come into our town to do services to for our infrastructure and stuff like that. So I'm in support of taking on the Alaska Small Community Travel Order Attachment B that was amended April 9th on just the other day by Dunleavy. It was sent out to you guys. Sorry, I did it the wrong way. I didn't realize I'm not allowed to email that, but I learned a lesson today. So thanks for teaching me that, Tom. But anyways, it talks about who can come. It really clears up the restrictions on who can and can't come into town as essential service. And one of those is the commercial fishermen and the commercial fishing and charter industry, as I read it. And I really think that on top of that, we look at all and we adopt all of those required business things in item 2D, I believe, of that article. Where they have to send in all those plans to the right departments and provide the right testing before they come into town and have the medical evacuation plan so that they're required to like have plans for their own employees that if they do come into town, they are they're planning for their own people on top of what I have to do. And then with the rapid testing that we will be getting, hopefully in the next 2 to 4 weeks, that they have to go back to the clinic after they've been in town and get tested and so on. And you guys have read all of that document and it's been shared onto the rumor mill as best as I can to promote the polls out there. But I think that the way that Dunleavy squared that up, if we can't stop everybody coming into town, that's the best way for us to stop it or slow down and make them check on their employees and do all of that. So I'm in support of at least doing that. And I'm also in support of sending letters out to the communities or the seasonal residents and businesses and maybe asking them not to come into town and or slow down because it is a financial burden on us. If we have to buy more supplies that we can't buy and the cost of those have gone out the roof right now. And also, if we catch these people, it's a huge burden on my volunteers that, like I said, that word volunteer, that get paid nothing to do this, that are working on the front line, that could contact this, that then have to be quarantined from their house for 14 days just by having access or by going on a call, they pretty much get quarantined away. So on top of everything that happens for these people coming into town, there's a huge effect that trickles down onto everybody else as these people start coming in and the possibility of the virus coming into town, which all has a financial, everything has a financial, it hurts our financial system and our economy really bad, no matter how we do it and how this thing plays out. But not having to spend more money on all types of other random things that we haven't even discussed, I'm in huge support of slowing everybody down as best as possible within our legal abilities and doing it the correct way, but also strongly putting our foot down and saying, please don't. It's a huge crisis on our very, very, very small healthcare system. It only takes one patient to spike our curve. And we don't really want to spike that curve. To keep it flat, we have to stay at zero.
Question for Travis.
Go ahead, Mike.
Travis, let me know if I misunderstood the, or if I understand correctly what the governor's office sent out. Am I correct that the provisions for planning for the various things that you mentioned that a business would have to do is for essential businesses like mining and the slope operations, but the direction from the governor, it seems to me, is to close all non-essential businesses, and the tourist industry is considered non-essential. So the charter operations and lodges and so forth that would be bringing in staff or visitors from the outside would not be able to operate anyway. Do I understand that correctly, do you think? Thanks.
Yeah, so on the thing that I sent out today on section 2, B, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it says persons engaged in subsistence fishing and in the fishing industry, including the fishermen, processors, guides, and transporters of the fish, and as well of those under contract with the fishermen, processors, guides, and transporters for the provisioning, and so on. So I read that as that covers the charter.
No, it doesn't.
Mr. Mayor, my understanding really was that the charter, the commercial fishing is provided for, but not charter fishing. But that was just my reading of it, and I could be incorrect.
Hey, Mike, today Fish and Game sent out a clarification. They sent out a bulletin this morning and a clarification this afternoon that you should read and interpret. That personal fishing with all the different guidances and sport fishing is included in that, but people have to still maintain all the social distancing and have to adhere to local governments. That came out, I guess, about 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Did I just make a mistake?
Hi, this is Shelley. I'm sorry to break in, but since Travis started, it's been incomprehensible. I can't understand what people are saying, and it's Zoom has dumped me off twice. Are other people having the same problem? No.
This is Callie. We still are in public comment. Travis had given a statement. Councilman Taylor had asked him a clarifying question. We're at that point right now. Caution folks to not be having a back and forth discussion right now. We still are in public comment. And when council members talk, they're supposed to be asking questions of the commenter. So with that, I'm like I said, we're.
Can I ask you make a comment to Travis?
Okay, Travis, I just want to make sure you're done with your comments before I open it up to.
My only last thing I want to say is that I haven't read the AFNG thing yet. I will research that. But what I am referring to is granted under the governor's order for small community travel restrictions under his provisions. So I don't know if that supersedes any of that, because AFNG is talking for the entire state, not just for our small community. So that's my last thing. And Kimber, I'll read it, and you can call me tomorrow and we can talk about it.
Hi, thanks, Travis. Yeah, I don't fish, so I don't really care. But I do care about what it means to the community. And so, yeah, they reaffirmed about difference between personal fishing, personal distancing, and sport fishing and commercial fisheries. So I think it was a very important bulletin. I sent it on to Whitney and they clarified it twice because people were confused. So, but also you also wrangle, you know, in trying to stop people who they thought weren't necessarily essential. Just got hammered back down by the state for people coming in and out for different things like on the roadworks that they have and on the mining that they have. So the governor said, well, you know, you don't qualify under the small community exemption. So I guess we need to be careful and check each step of the way on that. But I do support the July 1st. But also if I kind of feel like if we could stop the travel, then within the community after a certain amount of time, we could allow community to be community, you know, children to kind of interact a little bit on a very managed case. I don't know if that's possible, but I would like to look at that because this is really hard for them. So that's the last of my comments.
Okay, Tom Trebush. Trebush, I believe you wanted to speak. Okay, Colleen, you're on. Colleen, you're on.
There you go. I'm sorry. It's late. Old dog learning new tricks.
I have lost my train of thought now. Okay, I just want to say a couple things, Travis, about what Travis was talking about. It is true that ADF&G came out with several bulletins today, and I think those are open to interpretation, but basically I think they got tromped on a little bit because their bulletin told us that essentially we couldn't quarantine anybody. So anyway, back to the travel mandate. Again, my only comments about this are tighten. I would like to see this also have an expiration date or whatever you want to say of July 1st. I have two issues with this that I would like to see the city council tighten up, which is section 3. I believe the only thing that needs to be said in section 3 is the top part down to for critical personal needs, period. And then section 5. And section 5 should just go away, in my opinion. And I would say one more thing about travel, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to be too wordy here, but I've been meeting planes. And the first thing I want to say to everybody is meeting the planes is not about any kind of enforcement or, some kind of aggressive thing. It's about education. Really, it's about education. It's about letting people know what we expect, what we do in this community, and that we expect them to quarantine. We have services available. We give them a whole fact sheet about how to get hold of the clinic, how to get a hold of the city, who can shop for them. It's a really cool thing. So please don't think of it as being some kind of punitive or confrontational thing. It really is not. It's all about education, and I will hush up.
Well, I appreciate you guys doing it, Colleen.
Okay, I have
I think that we're clicking on top of each other.
Okay, Tom Trebush, do you have anything that you wanted to contribute for public comment on this one? Any more public comment on this resolution, CY20-13?
Okay, I do have something else from Whitney. I'm going to read it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've got a couple people that are having problems with audio. From Whitney, to reiterate my email, I want it clarified that it applies to all travel into Gustavus, not just intrastate. I want the exemptions tightened up, particularly the personal needs component. I would mimic the State, Alaska Essential Services and Critical Workforce Infrastructure Order. I would like a FAQ to make it more clear language than the resolution. I support a pre-authorization permit for entry, not a post-arrival process.
Okay, I have some more, so just give me a minute. Oh my gosh, it's 10:03. We need to
I know.
Extend the meeting.
This is taken. Okay, we're past 10. I need unanimous consent to continue this meeting past 10. Is there any objections to that? From the okay, no objections. We will continue. Is there any additional public comment on this?
I did raise an objection. Sorry, this is Susan.
Okay. Further public testimony, I need to close the public hearing on CY20-13. So is there any additional people who want to speak now, please?
Cal, I couldn't understand what you said then.
We're going to have to reconnect the mayor. He's been bumped off, so you guys are going to have to give us a few. Okay, you got
okay, I'm back. I think I closed the public hearing on okay, Karen just told me I need to suspend the rules to go past 10 o'clock. I need you, how should I do that? Okay, I'm going to suspend the rules if there's Okay, I'm looking for unanimous consent for me to suspend the rules so we can go past 10 o'clock. Is there any? Go ahead, Susan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd just like to ask, is there the possibility of continuing this meeting tomorrow night? I'm getting exhausted and there's still quite a bit to go. Would that be a possibility? Thank you.
Okay, I'm hearing from Karen that she doesn't really want to do that, but if we have to, I guess we can. I see Shelly, you have your hand.
I have not heard the audio since Travis. It's been speeding up and dropping. And crashed. It's crashed about 3 or 4 times. And I'm sitting in the parking lot on Gustavus computer. So I'm missing significant parts of the discussion. I don't know if other people are having similar problems. I mean, I basically am not participating in the meeting because I can't have access to the information. I would like to continue the meeting and to deal with issue, and that will give everybody an opportunity to take a look at my proposed substitute to CY 2013, which I think is probably going to address a lot of the concerns that I picked up fragments about.
Well, the question that I have is whether or not to continue this meeting right now. If I'm hearing that there's objections for me to suspend the rules to continue the meeting, I guess if there's objection, all this business has to be postponed, I guess. Karen, can you help me on this? Sorry, I'm talking with the clerk right now, trying to figure out where I'm at. I asked for unanimous consent to suspend the rules. I did not get it, so I'm trying to figure out what's the next step from. Go ahead, Mike.
Mr. Mayor, I agree with Susan that it might be good to continue this meeting tomorrow night at 7. The public is aware of it because they're listening right now. And so I don't think we've got an issue with not posting it as a separate meeting. It's a continuation of this existing meeting. We've gone past our time. If we only had one item left, that might be different, but we've got a lot of items left. So either we should pause it at this point right now, or continue this item and then postpone the rest of the meeting till tomorrow night. I'd be in favor of anything like that.
Tom, I see your hand up. I'm lowering it. Ahead.
Okay, so we have three actions that we can take. One is to suspend the rules. We're not going to do that. We can adjourn, which cancels the meeting, and I don't think that's what we want to do. Or we can go into recess like we do when we take breaks during the regular meeting, except we take a recess until date time certain, tomorrow at 5:30, if you will, or 7, whatever the time is. Those are our three options.
Okay, based on advice of staff, we shall recess this meeting until 7 p.m. tomorrow. That's Tuesday at 7 p.m. And I guess we'll pick it up then. Is that okay with everybody?
Yes, that's good with Shelley.
Yes, I'm good with that.
Yeah, all the little green check marks, I think, mean yes. I'm in favor of it.
This is Councilman Clark, and I see all the,
I see all those check marks coming in too. So we will recess until 7 o'clock tomorrow. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Good night, everybody. Thanks a lot. Thanks for hanging in.
Tomorrow at 7.
Okay, I'm going to sign off. If anybody's got questions on connecting or whatever, I guess Karen should be here tomorrow, and we'll get all that information out for reconnecting. Thanks.